All right, we're here with Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, Rob Drummond of Syracuse, the NFL and the CFL, talking about that Maryland game coming up, but first, Central Michigan. What did you take away from Central Michigan? We'll start with running back, since that's the position you played. What did you see from Adonis Amin Moore that you liked in that game? Obviously, he had over 100 yards, did well with it, but what did you see from him, maybe technique-wise, that you liked?
That's a technique-wise. I mean, Amin Moore's a very, very good runner, and the simple fact is all running backs did well. Syracuse had a point to prove he's not in that game, because of how well they played, or how bad they played against Villanova. You know, this is a team that's very, very interesting. I look back to when we played, and we were anomaly. We were a bunch of blue-collar, hard workers that just went out there and just played the game well. Until they get back to that, you know, they'll be a very average team. But they played that game nice out. They played that game like they should have played it. I talked to Terrell Hunt, you know, for the week before prior. I talked to Bobby McFarland. I talked to Princeton Valley, and I talked to Cameron. I told those guys, I was like, you know what, to get back to the old days of when we played football, when we dominated, when we were ranked in the top 5, you know, the top 10, the top 15. You got to go out there and relax and play football. Play as a team. You can't make your silly mistakes like the girl did, like now they're punching players. That's something leaders don't do. And I sat down and I told that young man, you got a chance to go out there and be just like Donovan McPherson. Go out there and just take this team and lead this team, because this team will follow you as far as you go.
Well, when you had an opportunity to talk with Terrell Hunt, like you said, going into this game, obviously you got ejected from the first game, didn't make a good decision, not something that people are used to seeing him do. What did you address with him when you did talk to him?
Well, first of all, it was interesting because I was shocked at who I was. I'm like, I was from way back in the day. You guys weren't even born yet when I played there. But you know what? It's a respect thing. It's a mutual respect thing amongst players. There's, I guess you walk into the Syracuse facility, you know, my picture's hanging all over the wall, my jersey's hanging up in there also, you know, just it's an archive from old players there who did well. And players feed off that, you know. And I told you that I called some of my teammates. I talked to Donnie McPherson. I talked to Darrell Johnson. I talked to Michael Owens. And I told you, you know, guys, you have to give these guys support. You have to come around more, because this is the University of football. We are the University of football.
You feel like you've seen every place in Central New York, but unless you've been to Borio's restaurant, you've never truly seen Central New York the way that it should be seen. No matter what the season, out on Oneida Lake, there is no better view than Borio's restaurant. From banquets to getting something to eat to Sunday brunch, Borio's restaurant offers authenticity to Central New York. It offers a difference to Central New York. Whether it's your anniversary or a graduation party, a bridal shower, a wedding, Borio's Restaurant is where people go to have the experiences of a lifetime, with the owners being a part of your meal, being a part of your experience, of your time there. The owners care, the local people that always come back care, and the people that come in from out of state just to have a feel of what Central New York means to them, they care. Go to a place where people care about you, and your experience will never be equaled by any other place. The best view in town is at Borio's Restaurant. Head there now, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Open Tuesday through Sunday, and remember Sunday brunch. Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York.
Back here with Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, live here at Borio's Restaurant. Rob Drummond played for Syracuse. And, of course, I'm Dan Satora here with you, a longtime sportscaster, both born and raised here. We were talking about Adonis Amin Moore, what you saw from him. We talked a little bit about Terrell Hunt. Did Terrell Hunt surprise you that he bounced back so fast and was able to go from a game where he was ejected to come back and not only throw for a touchdown, but to also get three more on the ground?
You know, it didn't fit into the standpoint that I thought Terrell would be after the game against Villanova. So he prepared himself the entire year to go out there and be the starting quarterback. So when you go into the season or you go into the year, you realize and understand you're going to be the starting quarterback, your mindset completely changes. Now it's your job. It's your job to lose. So you work a little bit harder and actually on and work a little bit harder and try to get yourself physically fit to be able to go out there and prepare for a long season. What you all did was make a mistake as a young athlete and go out there and hit a play. It's over. It's water under the dam, so he has to move on from that. His last year in Trojan with Hunt is capable of doing the rest of the year. Good luck there, man.
when he gets out there and not only did he pass for a touchdown, but when you see his ability to run, is that something that you really felt Syracuse should have? I mean, there's guys that have been able to take off in the past, and a lot of people saw it with Donovan McNabb and his ability to do it. Even, you know, you had Don McPherson, but also with Phil Cox, you know, there were times where he had to take off a little bit. So everybody has to kind of get on the run, but Terrell Hunt being a running quarterback, is this what Syracuse needs to get to the next level? Or do you believe that the pocket passer is the way to go? How do you kind of view where they're at right now?
I mean, kind of say, you look at Syracuse, and Syracuse is successful, and Syracuse is good. You know, from back in the 20s, people already really know when Bill Hurley played, you know, then Don McPherson, then Marvin's Rage, you know, then Donovan McNabb, and, you know, and so on and so on. The running quarterback is a staple at Syracuse University. It really, really helped us get to that next level. And I think Terrell Hunt can go out there and be that caliber of quarterback. As long as he relaxes, as long as he stays calm, and as long as he goes out there and be the leader that he's capable of being. He showed last Saturday what he's capable of doing and how he's capable of leading his team. As long as he goes out there and plays Syracuse type football, he'll be fine.
What was the play, and I talked with Tim Lester about this too, the quarterback coach of Syracuse. What was the moment that you felt like Terrell Hunt finally got comfortable in that Central Michigan game? Because there's usually a moment, a play, a drive, something that goes on where you see them kind of relax into the rhythm of the game and be themselves. Was there a moment that you saw him get there?
No, honestly, from the time the plane landed. That might sound funny, but from the simple fact that he knew he'd messed up the game before. You know, and he worked so hard to get that plane in this season that he knew he let his teammates down. So from the time he was ejected from that game to the time he had his tour for those 2 weeks leading up to Central Michigan, he knew how he was going to perform, and he knew what he wanted to accomplish and what he wanted to do. So Terrell Hunt was focused from the time he got on that plane to the time he got out that plane, and I knew he would go out there and have one heck of a game.
He completed passes to 11 different offensive players. Ryan Nassib had done things similar to that recently, to go out and have 8 different receivers, 9 different receivers. When you're throwing to 11 different guys, what is that telling you about Terrell Hunt and his efficiency out there on the field?
It just means you dial in. I mean, it means you're scanning the entire field, and when one option goes closed, another option opens up. At any given time as a quarterback, you have to drop back, and there's 3 to 4 to 5 options you have. Most people think quarterbacks just drop back and throw to 1 or 2 receivers. There's 3 options, 3, 4 to 5 options you have depending on what the defense gives you. It's like, I mean, if you ever played a video game, it's like boom, 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 it happens that fast. So he was dialed in because he was finding all of his options, and he was really getting the ball in there with zip. It was fun to watch him play that game.
Any receivers that stood out to you in the game, talking about Central Michigan, Syracuse being 2-0 here with Wake Up Call with Dan Satoro live from Borio's. Of course, I'm Dan Satoro alongside Rob Drummond, who played with the Orange. Was there any receiver that you really felt like stood out and did something special in this game against Central Michigan?
I mean, I don't even think there's one receiver stood out. I think they just played great collectively as a group. But I think Ashton Burrow can prove, like, he's been impressing me now for the last 3 or 4 years with this young man. He's just so talented, so athletic, and they have to find a way to get him the ball more. We're playing in a very, very tough conference, the ACC, with a lot of great athletes and a lot of good defenses, you know? So we have to get our playmakers, as I call them, involved in the game more. And if we can get those guys into a rhythm early on in the season, I think we can surprise a lot of people early on in this young season. And 8 wins is definitely doable by the City University and Orange Bowl, just like Coach Schaefer said. So that's something we have to shoot for. But like Coach Max said, when we went undefeated in the season, and we went 11-0, 1 game at a time. 1 down, 1 to go.
Syracuse is 2-0. They look to be 3-0 this weekend, 12:30 p.m. at the Carrier Dome. We'll be back to look at that schedule right here from Borio's Restaurant. We'll be looking at Syracuse's schedule to see how those 8 wins could happen for the Orange. And that's coming up with Rob Drummond and Dan Satoro right here from Borio's.
You feel like you've seen every place in Central New York, but unless you've been to Borio's Restaurant, you've never truly seen Central New York the way that it should be seen. No matter what the season, out on Oneida Lake, there is no better view than Borio's Restaurant. From banquets to getting something to eat to Sunday brunch, Borio's Restaurant offers authenticity to Central New York. It offers a difference to Central New York. Whether it's your anniversary or a graduation party, a bridal shower, a wedding, Borio's Restaurant is where people go to have the experiences of a lifetime, with the owners being a part of your meal, being a part of your experience, of your time there. The owners care, the local people that always come back care, and the people that come in from out of state just to have a feel of what Central New York means to them, they care. Go to a place where people care about you, and your experience will never be equaled by any other place. The best view in town is at Borio's Restaurant. Head there now, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Open Tuesday through Sunday, and remember Sunday brunch. Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York.
We're back here, Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, live from Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway, with Rob Drummond, of course, here with me every single Wednesday starting at 6 p.m. all throughout the season for Syracuse football, as well as the NFL. We're going to be talking a little bit about Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson, but before we go there, Syracuse is playing Notre Dame. It's been a while. They did it in the Greg Robinson era, but now they have Notre Dame on the schedule for the next few seasons coming up, but they're not playing it in the Dome. Now, Boston College, you just brought up when we took a break here, Rob, that BC has played USC at home. They had to travel there. The game wasn't outsourced. Syracuse has outsourced USC. They've outsourced Penn State. Now they're outsourcing Notre Dame. You have a very, very strong opinion about not having those big games in the Carrier Dome with fans sitting here today that don't have an opportunity to watch these games. They have to travel to New York City in order to do so. What do you think about the fact that Syracuse is bringing some of the best games away from Syracuse fans who pay the money to see this team?
You know, as someone born and raised in Syracuse and played as, you know, high school, Pop Warner, and collegiate football here, I think it's a travesty that they outsource games of that nature to places like the Meadowlands. I'm not from the Meadowlands. I'm from Syracuse, New York. And when I walked into that Carrier Dome, I had the heart of people, fans like this out there behind me to be able to go out there and play as hard as I could. I remember the last game I played, I told you before, playing in Syracuse and just crying my eyes out because I knew I would never be able to play at Syracuse University again because it was my last game as a senior. And just the fans just cheering and just going wild and crazy for me. That's the heart and soul that you need for big games like that. And Darryl Rice has no idea what he's doing when he takes games of that caliber and like take him to a venue like the Meadowlands or wherever it is they're playing down in New York City. I refuse to go to games down there when Syracuse is playing for that simple reason. You know what? This is Syracuse. This is our community. You take things away from the fans. You take things away from the community. You take things away from the people that really, really put their heart and soul in serious sports when you outsource these games. That's something I don't like. It's something I don't like at all.
When you hear some of the things that Doug Marone had said in the past, that he can't get teams to come to the Dome, they don't want to be in the Dome, it's too small of a venue, whatever it may be, how do you think Syracuse should respond to a USC or a Penn State or a Notre Dame that says, yes, we'll play you, but if we're going to play you, we're not going to play you in the Carrier Dome?
Play someone else. They're not the only team in the country. There's 1,000-something teams out there you can possibly play. Some just as high as them. You know, we have to get to the point where the Carrier Dome is someplace where we can go and teams feel scared when they come in there. Teams don't feel scared when they come to the Carrier Dome and play football. I remember playing games where one game we were playing Boston College, we were down 17-0, and all of a sudden the crowd just got into the game. We ended up winning the game 47-17. And the next year we went 11-0. We didn't go 11-0 because we were a good team. We were 11-0 because we were a good team and the crowd was behind us. And if they would have outsourced one of those games down to the Meadowlands or wherever they played, or during that year, we possibly would have lost. When you have that 12th man, which is the fans behind you, that's 100% correct, not 100% give you the desire to go out there and play that much harder.
Being called New York's college team, Syracuse has started this New York College Classic and decided to continue to go back to MetLife Stadium to play this game once a year. And obviously the premier game is going to be there. I think one of the interesting things is that they said there's so many Syracuse alum that are in that area, that are in New Jersey or in New York or in Massachusetts or any one of those surrounding areas, that they were going to get a lot of fans of these games. But USC dominated in that game. There were a lot of Penn State fans that came out last season. So you talk about the 12th man being so important. You're in the state of New York, but still, technically New York, you're in that New Jersey-New York border, but when Syracuse fans aren't coming out to these games, I almost wonder why to do them there anyways. I mean, you talk about the fact of why play the team if they don't want to play in the Dome, but if Syracuse fans aren't traveling, I don't really see the benefit of having a game that close to to the Carrier Dome and not just having it in the Carrier Dome.
You know what? I have friends who own businesses here. It's not just the football impact of the game. It's financial impact also. When you move these games, you outsource these games down to places that are 4, 5, 6 hours away. So, you know, you take the financial, you know, you take money out of the pocket of the small business owners here to just fill their bars, you know, or get people to come to the dome and buy their merchandise. That's the one thing that really irks me and irks me, but then outsourcing games like that. You know what the team does? Like I said, I sat there and watched that USC BC game, and I said to myself, wow, that's what college football is all about. You're playing a top-ranked team in your own facility on national television, and they won. That could happen in Syracuse also, but we can't because we're playing down in the Meadowlands, and we can't get that vibe, we can't get that feel, we can't have that carried on the stick, and what happens? We end up losing games.
Well, we also have to remember the fact that the next time Notre Dame will play Syracuse has to go to South Bend.
That's correct. So it's a kind of place to trade. He said, you know, they have to replay them down 5 hours away from here, and they play us at their home field. It's not right.
We'll be back here, Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, live from Borio's Restaurant, talking about Syracuse outsourcing that Notre Dame game. When we come back, we'll take a look at Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, Greg Hardy, and everything else going on in professional football. Here with Rob Drummond, who played in the NFL, CFL, and for Syracuse. And, of course, I'm Dan Satora here with you with Wake Up Call with Dan Satora from Borio's Restaurant.
You feel like you've seen every place in Central New York, but unless you've been to Borio's Restaurant, you've never truly seen Central New York the way that it should be seen. No matter what the season, out on Oneida Lake, there is no better view than Borio's Restaurant. From banquets to getting something to eat to Sunday brunch, Borio's Restaurant offers authenticity to Central New York. It offers a difference to Central New York. Whether it's your anniversary or a graduation party, a bridal shower, a wedding, Borio's Restaurant is where people go to have the experiences of a lifetime, with the owners being a part of your meal, being a part of your experience, of your time there. The owners care, the local people that always come back care, and the people that come in from out of state just to have a feel of what Central New York means to them, they care. Go to a place where people care about you, and your experience will never be equaled by any other place. The best view in town is at Borio's Restaurant. Head there now, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Open Tuesday through Sunday, and remember Sunday brunch. Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York.
Back here from Borio's, Wake Up Call with Dan Satora. Of course, I'm here, Dan Satora, longtime sportscaster, alongside Rob Drummond, played for Syracuse, the NFL, and the CFL. Had a good opportunity to talk with some of you that came out tonight, and I appreciate that. You can feel free to come up at any time. We're going to talk about what's been going on television and the radio and the newspaper, and that's not just here in Syracuse, but anywhere. That's Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, Greg Hardy, all of these guys that have gotten in trouble recently for things off the field that are against humanity, or things that are unspeakable. Child abuse, domestic abuse within the relationship. If you were an owner right now and you had Greg Hardy or Ray Rice or Adrian Peterson, what would be your first reaction to what's going on right now? How would you handle the case?
You know, to me personally, it's sad. And it starts way before any athlete becomes a grown-up. It gets to the NFL, or gets to the NBA, or gets to the NHL, wherever. You know, it needs to start in high school. It needs to start in college. You know what? I was raised with the only girl I've ever had in my life was my sister. And now we were kids, and she wouldn't get out of my room. You know, but for the simple fact that, I mean, I have 2 children now, and I've never stepped on children, never even spanked them. It's a simple fact. I can just look in a different way. I'm 6'4", 240 pounds, and my kids, I just stare at them. I stare right through them, and I know to stop. Some parents may think I'm a different way, and I would never tell anybody how to raise them, kids of their nature, but in my heart, it's just, I know I'm a big, strong guy, so why would I ever strike a child in front of none of them? You know, I just can't do it, and that's just me personally. And from the Ray Rice saga, it's like, you know, it's sad because, you know, I have a mother, and I can only imagine if that would be my mother, someone just striking my mother, and why would you ever raise their hand to a woman? I don't truly understand. That's I keep constantly hearing the mentality of being a professional athlete or being a collegiate athlete, which I was, and being able to go onto the field and being a violent, hardcore, rough, tough player, which I was, but having the ability to be able to turn it off when I walk up to that field. When I walk up that field, I'm a human being. I'm an individual. I'm not still that same monster, that same tough guy, that same hardcore player that's in the football field. The guys that know how to turn it off and turn it on, and the guys that don't are the guys that really fail in life.
When you see this type of situation going on, though, I mean, when it comes to somebody like Adrian Peterson, when I was growing up, your parents had a choice. They either spanked you or they put you in timeout. My parents were the type of parents where you got spanked once, you go to your room, that's it. Other parents, my aunt, put her children in timeout. I felt like if I got spanked, I knew I was wrong. I go to my room. I'm not going to do it again. Some people that were put in timeout is a different story. But in this day and age, it's not acceptable to spank children in certain areas. But for some parents, it is. Some people were brought up that way. I can't picture myself hitting my child or anything like that. But when I was growing up, you had a choice between the two. So how do you kind of handle a situation like that where there's people in this room right now that I'm sure got spanked at some point by their parents?
I mean, I got spanked by my parents. My parents were 6'3", 235 pounds, 240 pounds, super athletes that are trained to be able to go out there and be aggressive, be strong, be powerful. Ray Rice hit a woman and was knocked his leg off her feet. He's a big, strong, athletic guy. These guys don't understand how powerful they are and how much damage they do, as they can do. And as I said before, you have to know when to turn it off and to turn around. You turn it on and on the field. When you're in society trying to be an upstanding citizen and be a good person, you turn it off. And these guys don't understand how much the younger generation looks up to him, and they go out there and do things like that. For me personally, I can't have any respect for him. I can't cheer for him. Even the whole Michael Vick situation. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I'm 2-2, play for the Eagles, but I can't cheer. I couldn't cheer for Philadelphia Eagles when Michael Vick was on that team, because I'm not a dog owner, and I'm not really a dog lover, but I love animals. But the simple fact is, how could you be so cruel to another living being or living animal or human nature? It just blows my mind.
Now, you say that you never hit your kids. You haven't done what some parents, do growing up, whether it's spanking or not. But how do you reprimand your children? You have two sons. When they're wrong, what do?
I scare them. I'm serious. I sit there and I stare. And I just stare. I stare. I have a pointless stare on my face. And Raphael just looks at me and he's like, uh-oh. And Jay gets to the point, he's like, uh-oh, also. And that's all I have to do. But it comes to the simple fact that, they see the aggression in me and just doing other silly things when I get mad and I stub my toe. And I don't swear anything. I just get so mad and just get, they see that aggression. But it's not directed toward them. It's just directed at me messing up and just doing something bad. And then they say, is he ever going to flip like that on me? No, never will. Never have to. But the fact that they think I may, is that
So you did something that my dad used to. You do something now that my dad always did. Is that my mom would yell, my dad would stare. My dad would just dead stare, and I would be silent. And if he was home and I got in trouble, I knew not to say a word after I got looked at. And it works for you, but, I mean, how do you handle certain things? Because there are families around the country that are looking at Adrian Peterson saying, okay, maybe not as hard as you did, but we understand if you spank the children. I mean, there are players that have come out that play in the NFL just like you that were treated similarly to how some kids are still treated now.
I mean, to me personally, I think there's a huge difference between abuse and discipline. Discipline is something that a kid learns. Abuse is something when you injure that kid, you're hurting that kid, you're scarring him for the rest of their life. I was disciplined. I wasn't even to the point where I had these bumps and scars and things on my person to the point where I look like that young man on TV. But you know what? At the end of the day, I'm not in everyone else's home. They have to be able to go out there and dictate their own lives and live their own lives, and I can't control and say what it is or how they can or raise their children. I know how to raise my children, and it's worked for me. What may work for me may not work for the next person, but you know what? It's a fine line. We live in different times now. We have more mass killings. We have the internet. We have just such a different world now than it was when I was growing up. And maybe that's a counterterm. Maybe so much to do is better to see what's going on, now as opposed to back then. But it's something that really needs to take care of. And I'm glad at least right now, the NFL is getting to the head of this.
Adrian Peterson was supposed to play. was supposed to play in week three. He was taken out in week two. But since everything's been going on and more information's been coming out, Radisson Hotel temporarily pulls their sponsorship from the Vikings as a team. Nike suspends what they're doing with Adrian Peterson. It seems like when money starts to go away and sponsors start to go away, people start to care about morality, which is something I don't agree with. I don't think anybody should have to take money away before you do the right thing, but do you agree that that's kind of how the NFL works, is that once sponsors start to back off a little bit, that's when things actually get done the right way?
It's not just the NFL. It's every industry and every business is in hand. You know, they always say money is the root of all evil, you know, but I'm not sure about that. I'm trying to help people that don't understand that. But it just seems like when money's involved and money's a catalyst of anything, things tend to get done differently.
If you were an owner right now, in the case of Greg Hardy, who was convicted of beating up his ex-girlfriend and was still allowed to play, Ray Rice with what he did with his now wife, fiance then, and then Adrian Peterson with his child, if you were the owner of any of these teams that oversee the players, Greg Hardy with the Panthers, Ray Rice with the Ravens, and Adrian Peterson with the Vikings, even though Ray Rice has been dismissed, whatever that's going to mean in the future, how would you handle it as an owner if you had one of those three guys sitting in front of us right now?
I'd give you the greatest precursor for you being able to understand the type of athletes they'll be once they get to the NFL. Look at Jameis Winston right now. The third charge of that young man doing something, from the supposed rape of a girl, you know, to the stealing from the grocery store, to the doing the lewd thing that he did today, the guy that was suspended for that game. He's a person who I would not draft. I would not want a player of that caliber on my team, because what they do as young adults, what they do as adolescents growing up also, they will do as older adults.
You and I subscribe to the notion it's not talent over everything. If your talent is better than your morals, if your talent is better than your values, if you're going out into society and you're not giving something positive to society, then I don't care how talented you are, you shouldn't be playing the game. And that is something that I think some people in the NFL believe, but what needs to happen? You know, does there have to be a blanket policy? How do you make sure that people who don't have morals and don't have values and are going to go out into the community and hurt others, how do you keep that out of the NFL? How do you keep that away from the spotlight, because children are watching?
Well, there's good in everybody and there's bad in everybody. It's hard to pick and choose, you know, which side you see. But as I said before, you can tell a lot about a college athlete. Just watch him his 4 years in college, and his demeanor, his actions, his attitudes, the way he carries himself in college will be the exact same thing, the same way he carries himself once he gets to the pro. They don't change. It's not a magic pill. You all of a sudden don't get to the pros and you become good. You know, if you're bad in college, you'll be bad in the pros also. And these general managers in the NFL, they look at a policy. For them, it's about winning. Win. If you draft a bad athlete, of course you're going to turn bad. If you draft a bad athlete, of course you're going to turn bad once he gets on your team. Why are you shocked? You're shocked now that it happened before? You can look at their past and find out what type of person you're going to be. Me personally, I try and surround athletes like that around good people, good hearted people who go out there and just know the true meaning of what it is to be a human being. It ain't that hard to be a human being. You know, all you have to do is just go out there and just be nice to people. I mean, I try and tell people that all the time. And I sit there and I'm not a hypocrite, so I sit here and I always say the things that I do for myself, or I carry myself, the same things I do with children. I talk to children all the time. I go to high school to talk, I go to boys and girls club to talk. You know, I have my own gym, I put some training things, I train kids all day. I let these kids see the side of me that they should see in all athletes. But all athletes are like me. I understand that. You know, but when I get to a point where I can change them one day, maybe. Will I try? I'm going to try, but you know what? It's just we live in a society right now that's just so different. And I got two young boys growing up in society, and I'm all my children to go out there and try to do the best I can and make sure they be able to be outstanding citizens.
And I think you said a very important thing. Wake up call with Dan Spora live here at Borio's Restaurant with Rob Drummond, who played for Syracuse, the CFL, and the NFL. And, of course, I'm here with you, Dan Spora, broadcaster for Wake up call with Dan Spora. And one of the things you stated was what they're going to do in college, which I agree with, is it lets you know it's that foreshadowing of what they're going to be professionally. Justin Blackmon got himself in trouble in college. Jacksonville rolled the dice and brought in the wide receiver. receiver. He had two DUIs before he signed his rookie contract, before he even stepped foot on the field. He refused to play for the Jaguars until they gave him a contract after the DUIs. And since then, the substance abuse policy he's broken twice, and he's suspended indefinitely from the NFL. The Jaguars have no say in it. If the NFL doesn't want him back, he can never play football again. And he's only been in the league for, I believe, this would be his third year, but he's not playing. So I think it's very simple. If you don't take care of the problem in the beginning, and you catch the hand in the cookie jar, and you don't reprimand the hand for being in the cookie jar, then you can't be upset when somebody goes into that cookie jar professionally. It's going to look bad. It's going to make your team look bad, but it seems like teams only care when their reputation is on the line.
To me, again, it's just so funny and so ironic that I sit here and look at someone like, take Johnny Manziel, for instance. Everyone's Johnny Manziel, I guarantee you, I give you 2 years before a young man got himself arrested or got himself in trouble, because that's the kind of caliber of person he was even in college. It's going to happen. It's bound to happen. That's the mentality. He's got that I'm above the law mentality. I've seen it time after time after time after time. It doesn't change. These guys that think they're bigger than the sport itself and bigger than everyone else out there because they play professional sport eventually will hurt themselves and hurt others.
You say it's going to take 2 years before Johnny Manziel gets himself in trouble and finds his way probably in jail or convicted of something. I think I'm going to take a year and a half on Johnny Manziel. I'm going to go 6 months before you, because I don't think a guy that's flipping off teams in the preseason, I don't think it's going to take him that long to find himself flipping off people in jail. Wake up call with Dan Satora here from Morio's Restaurant with Rob Drummond of Syracuse CFL and the NFL. We're here every single Wednesday at 6 p.m. and we will be back in just a few minutes. You can feel free to come up and talk with us now that we're heading on to break, and we'll be back to look at Syracuse's schedule to see if they really can get those 8 wins that everybody's talking about.
You feel like you've seen every place in Central New York, but unless you've been to Borio's Restaurant, you've never truly seen Central New York the way that it should be seen. No matter what the season, out on Oneida Lake, there is no better view than Borio's Restaurant. From banquets to getting something to eat to Sunday brunch, Borio's Restaurant offers authenticity to Central New York. It offers a difference to Central New York. Whether it's your anniversary or a graduation party, a bridal shower, a wedding, Borio's Restaurant is where people go to have the experiences of a lifetime, with the owners being a part of your meal, being a part of your experience, of your time there. The owners care, the local people that always come back care, and the people that come in from out of state just to have a feel of what Central New York means to them, they care. Go to a place where people care about you, and your experience will never be equaled by any other place. The best view in town is at Borio's Restaurant. Head there now, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Open Tuesday through Sunday, and remember Sunday brunch. Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York.
Back here live at Borio's Restaurant, Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, here with Rob Drummond of Syracuse, CFL and the NFL, and of course, Dan Satora here with you, sportscaster here in New York State and around the country doing a lot of different things. We have the big question this season, which is, can Syracuse get to 8 wins? And I'd love to hear from some of the people that are sitting here tonight, once we go off, if they believe that they can get there. But we just went up and down the schedule, and we're going to release to you what we think is going to happen. So we'll go down the line, and I'll start with you, Rob. Maryland is this weekend. It's at home. Do you have this as Syracuse going 3-0?
Oh, this is Syracuse going 3-0.
So you have 3-0. I have 3-0. So we have Syracuse getting the 3 wins. Notre Dame at MetLife. This is technically supposed to be a home game for Syracuse. They outsource it to MetLife. Syracuse has not won a game in MetLife since they started the New York College Classic. What do you think about Notre Dame?
You know what, I can speak with my heart and say Syracuse is going to win the game, but I don't think they can win the game outsourced on a stage like that down there. If it was here to go, I said they could win. I was at the Nebraska game, and we beat Nebraska, and they were number 1 in the country. That's why we play games in the Carolina.
But no, I don't think I'm going to win that game.
So you have Syracuse losing to Notre Dame. I do as well. So we have them 3-1 through the first four games. Louisville is at home. They don't have Teddy Bridgewater. They've had a good game this season. They've had a bad game this season. What do you think will happen when Louisville comes back to the Dome? And the last time they were in the Carrier Dome, they were undefeated, and they went home with their first loss at the hands of Syracuse. What do you think is going to happen this time?
You know, for some reason, like Penn State, we always play Louisville tough, and I think it would be Louisville in the Carrier Dome.
So you have Syracuse winning?
Yeah.
So we have Syracuse beating Louisville 4-1. Florida State comes in right after that on October 11th. Who knows if Jameis Winston is going to take another box of crab legs from somewhere, if he's going to get suspended for the first half of another game. But no matter what happens, Florida State always has a backup to a backup to a backup because they're one of the top recruiting teams in the nation. I don't see Syracuse winning this game. What do you think is going to happen when Syracuse has Florida State come to the Dome?
I think in a few years we can beat Florida State, but right now we just don't match up in size value in the offensive defense lines. You know, they're going to have a tough time, and Florida State just has too much speed, too much size, and too much strength. I see them beating us.
So 8 wins is the number. We're both at 4-2. They go on the road on October 18th at Wake Forest. Wake Forest has been known to be the worst team in the Atlantic Division of the ACC. They're in the same division as Syracuse. They have not really been a threat to Syracuse in a long time. I have Syracuse going 5-2, winning this game against Wake Forest on the road. What do you have happening?
They'll be Wake Forest.
Very simple from Rob. As we continue here with Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, 8 is the number that Scott Schaefer had said he wanted to get to. That's the first step. He would love to get farther than that. But 5-2, then they go on the road to Clemson, South Carolina, Death Valley, a team that just massacred the last team that they played against. What do you see happening when Dabo Sweeney goes up against Scott Schaefer once again?
You know, if that game was home, I'd give Syracuse a chance. But that game's in Death Valley. To play on the road against those Southern teams is a whole different era, a whole different breed, a whole different world. And I can't see Syracuse going there and sticking with a victory.
Syracuse is 5-3. After that, we head into November. There's only 2 games in Syracuse in the month of November. Syracuse will be done November 8th in the Carrier Dome, and then they have 2 games on the road. We'll start with NC State. We both have Syracuse right now with 5 wins and 4 games to choose from. NC State at home in the Dome. Who do you have?
Syracuse should beat NC State. They're a much more talented team. You don't want to? Turn the heat up. That's what they used to do in Adelaide, Darian. Smoke them out.
I think it's funny because it's called the Carrier Dome. Carrier obviously had air conditioning, but they never turned the air on in the Dome. And I think that they would be better served if they tried to suffocate some of these teams because Syracuse practices in the Dome, so they know what they're dealing with.
The funny thing is, when I was in school there, we used to have the basketball team on half the field and the football team on the other half of the field. And Coach Mack would always turn the heat up, so the basketball players didn't mind because they were in all that equipment, but we were dying in there. But then when teams would come in there, they would just turn the heat up, so these teams were dying by about the third quarter, and we were fine. We're like, we're used to this. That was a huge advantage we had. They got away from it. Why? I wonder why. Because this new era of athletes, the organization of Syracuse, I just don't understand.
Well, I can tell you, being down in Tallahassee last year when Syracuse went on the road to play Florida State, when you're playing in that humidity and you're playing outside, it's just like playing in the Dome if you turn that heat up. So, to me, Florida State would be used to playing in something like that. Some of these other teams wouldn't be, so it seems like it would be advantage Syracuse.
The difference is the air doesn't move in the Carrier Dome. Down in the space, down in the south, the air moves. You get a breeze. In the Dome, there is no breeze, so it's just like in a sauna.
So we have Syracuse 6-3, 3 games to go. The number to get to is 8. I'm being completely honest. I know you're being honest here with the picks. Duke comes in on November 8th. David Cutcliffe has done some great things. DeAndre Smith, who's the running backs coach for Syracuse, his son will actually be coming in because he plays for Duke. He's a receiver for Duke, and he's fully expecting his son to be one of the talented guys on the other side. What do you think about the Duke Blue Devils, who are coached by a man who has also coached Peyton Manning and Eli Manning in the offseason to make sure they're prepared for the NFL?
You know, that's all well and good. And Duke did a great job winning the Coastal Division last year, but they were a senior-laden team. There's all younger guys in this team now, so I see Syracuse beating Duke again in the Carrier Dome.
You have Duke losing. I have Duke losing. So we now are at 7 wins. Syracuse is going on the road at Pittsburgh, at Boston College. You and I have equaled each other out the entire time. I feel like we're going to disagree at some point here. At Pittsburgh, November 22nd, outside, chances that it's going to be snowing pretty high. Syracuse practices in the snow, but they don't play in the snow. What do you think is going to happen at Pittsburgh?
I think they beat Pittsburgh. That's always been a rivalry of mine, Syracuse, even the days when they're not playing. I think you beat Pittsburgh at Pitt, and I said, what? Syracuse and Pitt always play each other tough. That's a rivalry we've had even since my playing days, and I think they beat Pitt this year.
So you have Syracuse beating Pittsburgh. I'm going to say yes on this one because of the fact that there's changes. There's changes on the offense. There's changes on the defense in Pittsburgh. They don't have a lot of veterans like they had before. Different quarterback. So we both have Syracuse at the magic number of 8 wins. 8-3 so far. Last game of the season at Boston College. Steve Adazio, who knows Syracuse well, is a fiery coach. He just beat USC of the Pac-12. Does Syracuse end the season with a win at Boston College? You're going to make a lot of people happy here tonight if you say they go 9-3. And you got to be honest about this. Do you think they're going to go 9-3?
You know what, honestly, did you watch the USC game? Did you
see that? I saw the earlier parts of the game. I didn't see the end, but I did see the beginning.
Did you see the crowd? Did you see the nostalgia? Did you see the, you know, the history, the pageantry, everything that was about when USC playing BC at BC? I mean, that's what I'm talking about. That's what Syracuse should have playing big teams like that. And I just can't see Syracuse going into a BC that's going to have the feeling from having that game earlier this year, being able to play at USC, now they're playing at Syracuse, you know, and just beating them. That's what I think is going to slip us, but it'll still give us the 8 wins that Coach Saber wanted to share.
So you have Syracuse losing at Boston College. I don't believe Syracuse can beat both of these teams on the road. I didn't think that they could beat them both at home last year, and they didn't. So I'm going to equal you out here. I didn't think we were going to go the same. I thought you were going to be a little bit different than me, but 8-4, you have Syracuse. I have Syracuse 8-4. It's good enough to get to a bowl game. It's good enough to get to a good bowl game, a better bowl game. Not that the Texas Bowl was bad, but maybe one that's a little bit closer to home for Syracuse fans. We both have Syracuse at 8-4 this season. We're going to take a break right now, and we'd love to hear from you if you want to come up and chat with Rob Drummond, who played with Syracuse and played in the NFL, and also myself, Dan Satora. Let us know, do you think Syracuse is going to get to 8 wins, or do you think that we're completely crazy for putting them at 8-4? We're here with Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, live from Morio's Restaurant. Rob Drummond and Dan Satora, and we'll be back.
You feel like you've seen every place in Central New York, but unless you've been to Borio's Restaurant, you've never truly seen Central New York the way that it should be seen. No matter what the season, out on Oneida Lake, there is no better view than Borio's Restaurant. From banquets to getting something to eat to Sunday brunch, Borio's Restaurant offers authenticity to Central New York. It offers a difference to Central New York. Whether it's your anniversary, or a graduation party, a bridal shower, a wedding, Borio's Restaurant is where people go to have the experiences of a lifetime, with the owners being a part of your meal, being a part of your experience, of your time there. The owners care, the local people that always come back care, and the people that come in from out of state just to have a feel of what Central New York means to them, they care. Go to a place where people care about you, and your experience will never be equaled by any other place. The best view in town is at Borio's Restaurant. Head there now, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Open Tuesday through Sunday, and remember Sunday brunch. Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York.
Back here from Borio's Wake Up Call with Dan Satora. You can find it on wakeupcalldt.com. We also have Sports DT app through the Apple Store and Google Play Store. And Rob Drummond has Fairway Physical Therapy right in Manlius. So you can go out and see him, get trained by Rob, who's been training a lot of high school athletes. A lot of athletes, including Tyrone Wheatley's son, who has a pick of the litter with where he wants to go to college right now. So he trained a lot of the good ones. Also played for Syracuse, CFL, and the NFL. And, of course, I'm Dan Satora, your broadcaster. We're here to finish up. We talked about a lot of things tonight, and we're here every single Wednesday at 6 p.m., so you can come find us right in the same spot. So when it gets colder outside, we'll be right in here. When it's warmer out, when summer comes again, we might be outside for a few, but you can always find us here in the bar area. The last thing we have to do, the last thing on the docket, Marty, Chuck, Tony, they would all want us to do this. It's prediction time for this weekend, Maryland and Syracuse. We both said that we think Syracuse is going to win the game. But prediction-wise, I was wrong in my prediction last week, and I will admit it. I was way off with Central Michigan. I'm trying to get back on track. I can usually get it right. I don't have too many off weeks, but I'm going to start with you, Rob. Maryland, Syracuse. Syracuse wins, but what's the score?
24-13.
24-13. I'm going to take Syracuse winning the game 21-17. 21-17. So you have 24-13. I have 21-17. Last thing we're going to do with our predictions. Who do you think will have the 100-yard game on the ground if there's a rusher to do it? Prince Tyson Gully did it in game one. Adonis Amin Moore did it in game two. Who will be the next 100-yard rusher for Syracuse if it happens versus Maryland?
It's going to be Prince Tyson Gully again.
You got Prince Tyson Gully. I'm going to go with George Morris because last year against Maryland, he was the guy that played the best. So kind of a little bit of an insider information, knowing kind of what they're going after. But I'm going to pick George Morris the second to get 100 yards in the game. You got Prince Tyson Gully, 24-13, 21-17. Find us here next Wednesday at 6 p.m. at Borio's. It's Wake Up Call with Dan Satora. You can find us at wakeupcalldt.com. And you can find out which one of us was right in our prediction and how close we were. So thank you for listening in. We hope you have a great night. Enjoy your food. Enjoy your drinks. And I thank Borio's Restaurant for letting us come out here and talk a little bit of football with you, have a little bit of fun, and we appreciate everybody that's come up and talked with us and listened in tonight. We hope to see you next Wednesday at 6 o'clock. As always, Rob, thank you.
Thank you.